is good to be able to be back, as I said in the beginning, and preach. And again, thank you for all that prayed for me, and continue to pray for myself and Tanya during this time. And I am recovering from the surgery, and those that came in late, I did get clearance to preach this morning, but it may be shorter and not as animated as normal. We'll just see how that goes. But I am glad to be back and be here. Thank you for all that's done, everything. Thank you, Brother Mark, for filling in even today with both Dave and Jamie gone, for leading songs as well. Habakkuk chapter 1, please, this morning. Habakkuk chapter 1. We can move some chairs back here if we need to, or I'm ready for COVID to be done. Is there enough back there? Do we need to add a few? Hey, Rex, if you were just sat in the front row where you're supposed to sit, you'd be fine. Stop backsliding, causing problems. Habakkuk chapter 1 this morning. I know no one likes the front row for some reason. See, that's the incentive to be early, right? I want you to do something. Take out a piece of paper and a pen this morning. You're going to get a pop quiz. Just kidding. I'm not going to do that. I had some of you going. How many remember that day when you were in school and the teacher would do that to you? They would tell you to take out a paper and a pen and you're going to have a pop quiz. What did that do to your heart? How did that make you feel? Now, some of you that are smarter than most of us, you didn't care because you knew everything, right, Rich? You were one of those students that you knew every answer to every question that's ever asked. At least you thought you did, right? But we get nervous. But how many of us realize that we have tests almost every day of our lives? How many thought once you got out of school, you'd be out of school forever? And you realize that you're going to be done with it. You never thought you were going to have to go through some of the things. And now you realize every day is like being in school. Every day is a test. Every day is you're going through different things in your life. Now we're going to come to the book of Habakkuk. And now as we see the prophet Habakkuk here, we see an individual who is being tested. How many feel like you're being tested every day? How many this past week you've gone through some difficulties in your life that you probably wish you didn't go through? And you've gone through some of those difficulties, you've gone through some of those tests. And I want to ask you a question this morning. How well have you done on those tests? Now, how many of you aced every test you ever got in school? Is there anyone like that in here? There's a couple of you. How many aced almost everyone? You missed a few here and there, but almost every test. How many, Brian, have never even passed a test? I mean, never mind. Well, skip that one. Habakkuk chapter 1, if you're able to, we're just going to read the first four verses. We're going to be looking at several verses through this chapter, then even verse 1 of chapter 2. If you're able to, please stand with me as we read from the Word of God this morning. Habakkuk chapter 1. And starting in verse number 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will not work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. Heavenly Father, We ask as we just take some time this morning to look in your word, that you would illuminate your scriptures to us. Lord, that you would just show us the truths you want us to glean. And Lord, we do pray even in this room if there's one that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that today would be their day of salvation. But Lord, we pray that each believer would be challenged from your word as well. And we would do what you would have us to do in our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. I want us to first see the question Habakkuk asked. The question. Look again with me in verse number 1. And we'll look at verse 1 through verse 4 in regards to the question that was asked. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and they will not hear, even a cry out unto thee of violence, and thou will not save. Habakkuk had a burden upon his heart. He had a burden, a heavy load. It starts off with this idea. He's saying, I am burdened about something. I have a heavy load about me. How many in your life, one time or another, have had a heavy burden, a heavy load upon you? How many ever felt like 1,000 bricks were upon your shoulders and you felt like there is no way of escape? You didn't know what was even wrong sometimes in your life, but you just felt this upon you. And here Habakkuk is saying that I have this burden upon me, and then he's going to explain what the burden is. Now, it's interesting, some of the burden that he has, we're going to see, he even questions God, how long is this going to be? How long is this going to take place? How long is this going to happen? Lord, how long do you hear my prayer? Lord, how long do you answer me? Lord, I want something done about the situation that I'm facing. I believe many of us come to that same place in our lives. We have been in that same place. We have had that burden upon our heart. We have had that heaviness upon us. And we even come to that place that we start to question God. We come to that place, we start to ask God, why has this gone so long? Why has this happened? Why isn't this relief for me? God, I've turned this over to you in prayer. God, I've given this to you. But God, why has this not been taken from me? He complained to God, how long? Now, we all know God's timing is better than our timing. We've been reminded of this almost week after week in different areas of our lives as we've gone through many things. But he questions how long. And he wants God to do something. He wants God to answer his prayers. Let me ask you, how many of us, and you don't have to admit, but I want us to think about it. How many of us have prayed for God to do something? And we know God should do something. And we know it would be good if God did what we're asking God to do. But we don't see God's answer to what we're praying when we think God should answer that prayer. How many like that? And we prayed about it. There's some good things. Now, I tell you, what he's concerned about is a valid concern. He's concerned about, you see in the verse 4 that we read as well, you see what he's concerned about is the violence and the wickedness and the things happening. Now, I tell you, it relates to our world today, does it not? Look around you. I understand we're under this thing with COVID and all that's happening, but that's not the only thing taking place. We look around and we see all this wickedness and the violence happening with these groups of Antifa and all this other stuff that is happening. We see buildings being burned. We've seen people being murdered. We've seen all this happen and all this take place. And I know many believers, not just during this time, but many believers throughout the ages have been praying and asking God to relieve this and to remove this wickedness and to remove this stuff. And I know many individuals, even during this time, have said this thought, how long, Lord, is this going to continue? How long, Lord, is there going to continue to be this violence? Lord, how long? We've been praying for you to relieve us, to take this from us. How long? And this is the burden upon Habakkuk's heart, the prophet. Now we understand in scripture what's the purpose of the prophet. The prophet was given to be a warning, to serve as a warning, to wake the people up, to get the people to see what they need to do in their lives. And as he has done this, and as he has prayed, and as he has sought God, All he sees is the wickedness. All he sees is the violence. I tell you, it gets discouraging sometimes as a messenger from God, as you're preaching, as you're sharing, as you're encouraging, as you're challenging people to do what God would have them to do, yet they do not turn, yet they do not heed, yet they do not listen. And you get to a place you say, well, how long is it going to take? How many of you try to teach your kids, and your kids now are even on the house, and you did everything you could to teach them godly principles. You did everything you could to get them to church, and they're not living the way they are. I know some individuals, some parents, man, they're on their knees every day praying for their kids. They're seeking God, asking God to do something, asking God to get a hold of their children, get a hold of them. And they even ask the question, how long, Lord, till my kids come back to you? How long? And this is the burden that he has. But then we see the answer. We don't only see the question, the burden. But God gives us the answer here. Look at verse 5 through verse 11. Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. Now stop there. We're going to get into it in a minute. Did you see something here? God says to him, don't you fret. Don't you worry. Marvel not. Don't be concerned about this. I have it under control. And I'm going to answer in a way that's going to blow your mind. I'm going to answer in a way that does not make sense to you. How many ever had an answer in your life that you were praying God would answer and you didn't know how it was going to happen? God answered it and you sit back and go, well, that's not the way I would have done it. I had it planned this way. God, this would have been so much easier if it would have been my way that I thought it should be done. But it wouldn't have been. We all know the truth of the matter of that. But God here says, you know what? I'm going to do something, and I'm not going to do it the way you think it should be done. I'm going to do something that's just going to take you back a little bit, because I want you to see who's going to deliver. I'm going to want you to see who's going to answer this. It's not you answering the problem. It's not you taking care of the issue. I want you to see that I, your God, am going to take care of the issue. I'm so glad in our life, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is there for us each and every day of our lives. I'm so glad as you and I are going through some of the trials, some of the tests that we're going through in our lives, that He is right there with us, and He's there to guide us. Jesus is there to guide us and help us and lead us as we trust in Him, not in our own understandings, and He'll lead us and guide us, and He'll direct us through that path of our life. I'm glad He's there, and I'm glad He has an answer. I'm glad I don't have to come up with the answer. And I'm glad He has the answer. And God says to Habakkuk, don't you worry. I have an answer. I'm going to take care of it. How many of you can testify in your life when you've seen the hand of God at work? I tell you, it's amazing when you get to see the hand of God at work. It's different than when you've solved your problem. How many of you have solved your own problems before? And how many have had God solve your problem for you? And you see the difference in it. Why? Because God is God. And God knows the whole thing, and He takes care of it. And He solves that problem. He takes care of the issue. And God is at hand. It says, marvel not, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though be told unto you. Then what does it say? For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, for it shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwellings, places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the even wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as eagles that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be scorned unto them. They shall be jeered every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. Then shall his mind change. I want you to see something. God graciously tells Habakkuk he's going to do something. He's going to judge Judah by the work of the Chaldeans. He's going to use Nebuchadnezzar. He's going to use others to judge and to deal with the violence. Now, would the Chaldeans be the first people you choose to use? How many would choose? They were very wicked individuals. I mean, this gives us a little picture of who they were and what they were and what they did. But they were not people that you would say, let's go be best friends with. Now, it's interesting this. As you see throughout Scripture, what does God do? God even uses bad people to accomplish his will. God even uses bad people to accomplish his will. Now, God does not make them bad to do his will. God has not has got to a place where he says, well, I'm going to make sure that Rick is a wicked individual because I want Rick to... No, Rick is chosen. He chose himself to be wicked. He's chosen himself to live that style. But God, in spite of who Rick is... See, Rex, you should be right up front here. Instead of who Rick is, it uses it for his glory. And he uses people, and he's going to do something that you and I would say, well, God, couldn't you do it a different way? God, couldn't you use different people? Couldn't you use some godly people? Couldn't you use some individuals that would have been more on the line of things? But no, God says, I'm going to use this. I'm going to use these individuals. I'm going to use these people here. And you can read a little more about that in 2 Chronicles 36 if you want to sometime. And you see what God did and how God took that and God used them to deliver and deal with the violence and the wickedness and the things that were happening. Let's apply it to today. I'll be honest with you. I don't like every politician there is. I don't think every politician's godly. I know I'm probably going to get myself in trouble for saying that. I don't agree with every person in any authority there. Not everyone is as smart as me, so I don't agree with them. Just kidding. But I do understand we're supposed to respect. I understand all that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is this. There are some people that I would consider not good people in places of authority, in places of leadership. But God can still use them for his honor and his glory. I don't like some of the individuals that have come to the limelight in recent days. But there are some of those individuals that have done a lot of good, even though they're not good individuals. There are some people who are majorly against the violence and the things happening in our world today. And even though I would not sit down and hold their hand and sing Kumbaya, my Lord, God is using them. God is using them in different ways. And God has taken individuals and God has used them. Now, we're going to see this, and I'm playing this out because the next point we're going to look at, not only do we see the answer that's given, we're going to see Habakkuk is confused. We're going to see the confusion. Because we get confused sometimes in God's plan and how God's going to do it. Because in my mindset, it would be a lot better if God would just wipe out some of the wicked individuals. How many would agree with me? I'm just being honest this morning. I hope you're not taking offense to this. But my plan would be this, Brother Rich. If a politician did not do what I thought they should do and they allowed certain things at that office would be vacant tomorrow because they'd be struck dead. I mean, that's my plan. I mean, if some groups want to push violence and want to push certain groups that are being pushed today and saying it's okay to go riot in the cities and that politician and all those people in those different positions strike dead and be gone. I mean, come on, why not? And then we can move forward. But I'm glad I'm not God, right? That's not God's plan. Now, some of you are laughing because you thought the exact same thing I thought. So don't think I'm the only wicked one in this room, all right? He gets confused. We get confused. Look with me. I want you to see the confusion, verse 12. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of a purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that dealt treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he, and maketh men as the fishes of the sea, and as the creeping things that have no rule over them. They take up all of them with an angel. They catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net and burn incense unto their drag, because them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spear continue to slay the nations? Verse 12, we see Habakkuk accepts God's answer. However, he's confused. He didn't understand how God could use these people who are wicked to judge other people who are wicked. He didn't understand how this could happen. How could this be? And they give the illustration of the nets and the fishes and all that's in there. And because of time, we're not going to go through each of those. But I want us to keep that idea. He accepts God's answer, but he doesn't understand God's answer. What about your life and mine? How many of you said, I've accepted God's answer about something, but then you are just puzzled about how is this going to work? How is this going to happen? How many even doubted God's answer before? And God says, okay, this is how I'm going to do it. This is how I'm going to take care of your problem. This is how I'm going to take care of the tests and the things you're going through. His faith is being tested. And as his faith is being tested, God says, all right, you don't worry about it. I know there's a problem. I know you want an answer. I'm going to give you this answer. And as I give you this answer, it's not going to be what you think it ought to be. But I'm going to show you I can do it. But okay, God, I understand you can do it, but God, I'm confused. I think many times we get confused in the will of God. We get confused as we're following God because we do something. We allow this to get in the way. Because how am I supposed to do when God gives me an answer, God leads me a certain way? What am I supposed to do? By faith, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to follow God. By faith, I'm supposed to go after what God says. I don't have to see it to believe it. I have to follow God. I have to understand God has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a way. And by faith, I have to trust God. And by faith, I have to do what God wants me to do. But then this little brain of ours gets in the way. And we start to try to logic everything. Have you met a person that tries to make everything logical? All right, now some people's minds are a little more that way, right? Brother Lewis? Lori, I know Lori's that way too. And Brother Lewis was an engineer. They're weird people. I love Brother Lewis, but I'm just going to be honest. I've never met an engineer that wasn't weird. They think weird. They do not look at things the way Brian looks like it. Brian looks at things, 1 + 1 = 2. That's the way. And Brother Lewis looks at things is 2n plus this and all this other stuff, minus this in parentheses everywhere and all this other stuff that doesn't make any sense for anybody. Yes, Rick, I know you taught that wonderful stuff for years and you like that. You need help too. But we try to logic everything. We try to put it together. We try to understand it. And it doesn't always make sense to us. There's been times in my life that God has led us and God has given us His will. And I sit back and go, what, God, are you sure? I remember 17 years ago, that's where the 17 years comes from, Sherry. 17 years ago of April, April 3rd is when we moved here. A little over 17 years ago, I remember when we were praying about coming here. And I remember Tanya and I talking and praying about it. I'm going, Lord, are you sure you want us to go to Idaho? I'm a Midwest boy. I grew up in Michigan. And I loved Michigan. Went to school in Wisconsin, the only state with sin in its name. Met my wife there. She got right with God. And then we were on staff at a church for a few years. She finished her schooling. And the Lord opened the door for us to move out here. I'd never been away for a long period of time from that area. My wife, longest she ever been from her parents was 20 minutes. And now we're moving across country to here. And I remember questioning and saying, God, are you sure you know what you're doing? Idaho. No one even knows what Idaho is. Every time you mention Idaho, they say, Iowa? No, Idaho. Oh, do they have running water out there yet? I mean, that was some of the comments. And I've shared this before. One of the first people I met, and I mentioned this in the message, I think, 2 weeks ago, but I was scared of him. One of the first people I met was Dick Smith. Dick, how tall are you? Yeah, he's old now. He's shrunk. And I remember, and I'd said this a few weeks ago, I was scared to death of Dick at first. And then I found out he's just a big teddy bear. But I remember moving out here, and I have to say, at first I thought the people in Idaho were weird. I remember we came out here in November to look things over. And then I met Sherry. And I said, I don't know what we're doing. This is nuts. This is crazy. And then I found some sanity. I met Lori. And I said, all right, I think we can handle this. And I tell you, I remember being confused and going, God, are you sure you want us to go here? And Idaho has grown in the 17 years we've been here. When we first came, the sign said like 40,000 or 45,000 population. I think now we're 90,000. And I tell you, there was hardly anything. It was like ghost town. I tell you, you could actually drive on the roads. How many remember that day? How many remember you could make it to Boise in 20 minutes because there was never any traffic? And you could even take the back roads, and the only traffic you hit was a farmer on his tractor. You remember those days? And I tell you, but that, when I saw that, I was a little confused. I was like, you want me to come here? I wanted to move back to the big city. I want to move back to Michigan area. And you had tons of people everywhere in that. But you know what? We have our confusions. But even if we get confused, we have to know God has a plan. And we have to follow God's will for our lives. And Habakkuk just had to trust God. That God's plan of using the Chaldeans was the right plan. And was the plan that was going to take care of his prayer request. You and I have to have faith this morning. That God's plan is the right plan. And you and I have to have faith this morning. Not trust in this government. Not trust in this world. But we have to have faith this morning. Trust in God. That God's plan is the right plan. And we need to trust God and follow God. And see God do great and mighty things. I tell you, as long as the Lord has not come back, the Lord is not done with this country. As long as the Lord has not come back, God is not done with America. Is not done with our state. Is not done with our city. Is not done with this church. God still has a plan. As long as the Lord has not come back, God is not done with you. God has a plan, and we need to have faith, and we need to trust Him and see God do great and mighty things. God can deal with the wickedness. God can handle the situations that we're facing. We might not understand God's plan. We might not understand why God's allowing things to happen the way he is. But God is in control. And God has a reason. God has a plan. And God has something great in store. And we got to have faith. Look at one more verse. Chapter 2 and verse number 1. I want you to see the confidence. We've seen the question. We've seen the answer. We've seen the confusion. But I want you to see the confidence. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. He was confused, but Habakkuk decided to wait on God for an answer to his confusion. Habakkuk teaches to come to God even when we don't understand and to wait confidently on him for the answer. He set up the watchtower, and he waited patiently to see God do it. How many are you patient people? How many are just the most relaxed individuals in the world? That nothing bothers you. If something doesn't happen the way you want it, you don't care. How many are like that? There's a few of you in here. There's not many of us. How many of you want everything done on your schedule? Yeah, that's the majority of you. You want it done on your schedule. You want it done your way. You want it done now. We don't like to be patient. We don't like to wait. Now, if you and I were Habakkuk, we say, all right, God, this is our question. God, you gave the answer. We have confusion. All right, God, you're trying to clarify this for us. I'm glad you are. But God, do it now then. Now, I'm going to wait and see God do it. We would say, all right, God, that's your plan. Can you do it tomorrow? God, all right, fine, you gave us the clarity, you gave us the understanding, you gave us what we needed, and now you told us, but now, God, can this happen tomorrow? Many times in our lives, we see God gives us the answer, he clarifies it for us, but we don't want to wait. And we did a study a couple Wednesdays ago, actually the Wednesday before my surgery, on live stream about be still. And we looked at several verses on being still in Scripture. And we got to come to a place where we just be still sometimes and allow God to work and wait on God. How many of you like puzzles? Those little cardboard cutout puzzles. How many of you like those? I do not have patience for those things. And some of you enjoy the ones that are like 5,000 billion pieces. And it seems the more pieces you get, the smaller they get. And then you can't even see, for us that are blind, the cutouts of those. And then it says, well, you just match the colors. Well, when they only use the same colors throughout the whole puzzle, it's pretty hard to tell the difference. And then you look at the box. And then you look at the piece. And then you look at the box. Then you look at the piece. Then you throw all the pieces back in the box and throw the box away. How many do that? Why? Because you don't have the patience to do it. Habakkuk taught us a lot of things. But it taught us he had to get to a place to just wait in on God. I wish this COVID stuff was done tomorrow. I wish this Antifa stuff was gone tomorrow. I wish we were back as a godly nation tomorrow. I wish people would get right with God and we have a mass revival tomorrow. I wish that our church people would just get right with God and be faithful to God tomorrow. I wish that each of us as individuals would be sold out to God more than we ever had in our lives tomorrow. I wish it would take place. I wish it would happen. I wish I would be what I was supposed to be tomorrow, because all of us struggle. I wish that everything would be the way it ought to be right away. But sometimes we need to have patience. I'm glad God's patient with me, though. You know, we want God not to be patient with the wicked people. But how about us who are wicked? And how many are in this room you're not wicked? Raise your hand. All right. We're all wicked. Our heart is desperately wicked. We are wretched people. We're saved by the grace of God if you're saved. But we are wicked people. I'm glad when I do not live right and do right, my God is long-suffering for me. I'm glad he is patient for me. Some of you are glad God was patient with you in regards to salvation. Some of you, you turned your back on God many times. You heard the gospel preached. You heard how Jesus loved you, died for you, rose again from the third day from the grave. You heard about the only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. You heard about how there was this God that loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son. That there's no other way of salvation. You heard about that you are a sinner and you come short of the glory of God. You heard all your righteousness is his filthy rags. You heard about how there's no hope apart from Jesus Christ. But yet you did not turn to him as Lord and Savior. But there was a day that came, finally, that the word of God pierced your heart. And you came to a place, you realized you were a sinner in need of a Savior. God drew you unto himself, and he saved your soul. But aren't you glad God was long-suffering? Maybe here this morning, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. God has given you another opportunity to hear the gospel. God has given you another opportunity to come unto him. Don't trust the church. Don't trust traditions. Don't trust works. Salvation is only found in Jesus Christ and him alone for salvation. I don't care if you've been to church your whole life. I don't care if you've been through every catechism, every program, everything underneath the sun. I don't care if you've been baptized. I don't care if you've done all those things. Salvation is only found in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord, why don't you come this morning? Let someone take the Bible and show you from God's holy word the only way of salvation. Believer, our faith's been tested. We go through it. We're not sure how things are happening. But let me tell you, God has an answer. God has a plan. We might not understand the plan. We might not understand everything that's happening, but God is in control. And let's have confidence. And no matter what we're struggling with in our lives, let's wait upon God. And let's be in our watchtower, waiting and watching to see what God is going to do. And I'm telling you, if we sit and watch and wait, what God can do is just going to blow our mind. Because God is not limited in what he can do. You and I have gone through some struggles in our lives. We've gone through some hard times. Some of you have gone through even harder times than this COVID and this stuff going on. Some of you have gone through some very hard times because you're Brother Dick's age and you've been here for the Great Depression and that. And you've gone through some of those things. Maybe not quite back that far. Dick's close, though. And you've gone through some hardships. You've gone through some trials. You've gone through some testings of your faith. And as you and I have gone through some of those testings of our faith, God uses that to mold us, to make us what we need to be. And we need to just trust God, have faith, and watch God do it. God can. and God will. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, I pray. So we just have a few minutes to look at your word this morning, that you just use what we heard to work in our hearts and our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.